Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 94 of the Interviews Podcast. We are here for the post-match reaction of an absolute thumping at the San Siro. Inter 4, Atalanta 0, with goals from Jim City, an own goal in the third minute, Barella in the 10th, Turam in the 47th and 56th. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Johnny Paterno. Johnny, let's start here. How good does it feel to continue to just bury Gasperini after all of the like comments that he just can't let his Inter like hate go? It's just crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's the way he acts like a child and looks at every matchup with us as if it's the Champions League final or whatever it is in his own warped mind. It's hilarious. You know, and I'll be honest though, when I saw the lineup initially, my first thoughts were a little concerned. But then, you know, literally from the minute one, those concerns or those fears or whatever it may be, whatever you want to call it, they went away instantly. And I felt like he is overthinking this game. He is overdoing this chess match. And it played right into Simone's game plan on how to go at them. So yeah, I mean, it feels incredible really to, I mean, 4-0. Sure, I mean, if I'm nitpicking, you could say, yeah, I wish it was 5 or 6 or whatever. But other than that, I have zero complaints with this game. And you would think even like on a little bit shorter rest in terms of like, you know, not being a full week between matches, maybe there'd be a little bit of fatigue. It did not look that way at all, and I am thrilled with that we were able to take it to Gasperini.
Yeah, I think before we get into the rest of everything, this is the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. I got to remember to say that at the top.
Got to remember, yeah, before we get a lawsuit thrown at us. Nima
before
is
we
a
get
lawyer,
a lawsuit, so. Right. Yeah, yeah, and he's also very obviously pushing out all of the Interviews content, so he's gotta get his due here.
Got to name drop it, yeah.
It was, you mentioned like the overthinking. Atalanta came into the game missing Isak Hien. It was definitely felt. I mean, that's a big loss for them. He goes with Ruggeri at left center back, and Jim City and Darun to complete the back line. You know, instead of maybe playing Toloi or trying another option, it was an interesting shakeup, but he sat Charles de Ketelaere. Started Samardzic. So, there definitely could be an element of tinkering on his end to try to get the upper hand over Inter, which he just has not been able to do throughout his tenure as Atalanta manager.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a while, actually, since Atalanta's even gotten a victory against us. So, fantastic. I could not be happier, really, with the results. And yeah, I mean, it just seems like the overthinking that he did ended up biting him. So I'll take that all day.
And let's also throw out a quick reminder for everyone. Sabatini picked Atalanta to win the Scudetto over Inter. So just reminding everyone of sort of the media and
Well, I mean,
what
I did pick him
to
go second. So that's not looking good either. So
that might not be looking good. Only 1 point, 3 points? Yeah, 3 points.
3 points from three
after
matches.
After three games, so. All right, let's get into it. Groundskeeping. Tomas Palacios, over the line, done. Signed his contract, has taken his picture at the official headquarters, which is, that means it's done. So
that,
very happy to see that go through on deadline day. He becomes our back left center back to Palacios, although if Augusto is available, he's likely going to play that spot, as we saw today with Bastoni. But Palacios was in the building. Excited to bring him in. And, you know, hopefully we can talk about him a lot more. I have some pretty high hopes for him. Champions League draw. How do you feel? First off, how do you feel about the format? Because I personally am more interested in the amount of variety that we have in terms of opponents, and also the fact that we'll be getting some pretty huge games, such as Arsenal at home, Man City revenge game, a game against a game against the German champions, Bayer Leverkusen, and a game against Leipzig, which should be an awesome game because they're an awesome team.
Yeah. I don't love that it's more games, but I do love that it's a bigger variety and that we are getting these types of marquee matchups that we would want to see. You know, we don't normally get to see them in the group stages. Now we are getting to see them. You know, you would never get, I mean, I know Arsenal's a pot two team, but typically we don't really pull them. We normally get like somebody that we dread playing, to be quite honest. Usually like a Barcelona. And then to be able to get Man City, you know, in the, be drawn into their pot, because initially I did not know that ones and ones could play against each other. So I love it. I love that, you know, you're playing two against pot one, two against pot two, two against, you know, or two in pot one could be in one group and then two and two, you know, I just love it. I love the layout, the matchups that we have, you know, my gosh, man, I wish I can get out there for the Arsenal game. You have no idea.
You are going to have, your mentions are going to be filled. That whole week coming up to it.
And if they drop a stinker on me, like, we can't lose that one at all. Yeah. But I just hoped, yeah. I'll be honest, I am confident in that game. I'm not even just like on a, take trolling away. I am very confident in the way we match up and would play against them. Nobody really intimidates me, especially in that back line. You know, regardless of Calafiori being there. Although I figure he'll be starting by that point because, you know, that's, Arteta's going to think that that, you know, his light bulb might bring a different type of energy and light up the room differently, or the sound, however he wants to phrase whatever nonsense he's going to come up with that match. But dude, I'm pumped. Leverkusen's going to be an interesting matchup. Leipzig, like you said, is going to be an interesting matchup. And let's not sleep on young boys. You know, they, or for whatever reason, that Swiss team, they aren't an easy out. They've gotten to the round of 16. Surprisingly, they've gotten out of their group in the past. Now, it's going to be a little bit harder with this format for them to make a deep run. But I could see them being a team that, you know, we may overlook and not take so seriously, and then it ends up being a little bit of a problem. But hopefully by that point, whenever that matchup does come, we have nothing to worry about. And if I'm not mistaken, this order that it's shown in right now is the order that the matches will be played, correct?
So no, it's actually the draw is coming out tomorrow, and it's going to be, it's going to be a random order. Speaking of the order, I tend to feel like I want one or two of these games against the big teams a little earlier, because at this moment, you know, knock on wood, we don't know what happened after this game, but we're at full strength right now. As the season develops, like, you expect, you know, to have some sort of injuries. I don't want to catch these big teams at a bad time for us. So that's sort of how I'm thinking about it. But what do you?
I want Man City Arsenal 1-2.
1-2. Right off the bat.
And I'll say, and the only reason I say it is, like, let's say for whatever reason it doesn't go well for us in those first two games. We maybe get a draw and a loss, let's say. Then that still leaves you with six matches to make up for that. You're not knocked out. You have an opportunity to be able to, you know, to make up the ground. Whereas if you need to, you know, at the end you have to play Man City away to be able to get through to the next round, it's a little bit harder. I mean, who knows? Maybe at that point, City's got it wrapped up. We don't know, but I would much rather get those tougher ones out of the way, see how we stack up, and then be able to coast, because I would much rather be able to rest guys and have them fresh for the rest of Serie A, and then, you know, available for the knockout rounds. If we could rest guys against, like, you know, whatever, Young Boys, Monaco, or Sparta, I'd feel much better being able to rotate there, you know, get a Fratesi in, get a Zielinski in, let Taremi start for a minute, whatever it is, then being, you know, knowing that we have to play our big horses to be able to get through in the latter stages there. So
it's A couple interesting points. The Opta supercomputer says that of the big teams, Inter has the third toughest behind PSG and Liverpool. I think that's interesting. But looking at these names, like it's not a nervousness that I'm feeling. I acknowledge that it's a very tough draw, but I'm excited. Like I'm excited to match up with these teams. I'm excited to match up with Arsenal. It's been a lot of back and forth over the past couple of years on Twitter, you know, and pitting the best in Italy versus the best in England it's going to be fun to do that. Playing against two of the best teams in Germany, whatever you think of Bayern, like these two teams are really good. If you haven't been watching, they're really good. So that's going to be exciting. The simulators are also saying that 15 points is going to be required in order to go through to the next round. So you look at the four games against the smaller teams, you would imagine there's going to be a slip up there. 12 points available. You would imagine, like, what do you think you need to get from those four games?
At least 10.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. You have to get at least 10.
And then what about from the big sides?
And then from the big sides, I mean, since it has to be 15, right? You have to get at least 5. So yeah. A win, two draws, you know, two wins and a loss, whatever it is. If you get maximum points, then that makes it much easier, obviously, to, you know.
Against the small teams, yeah.
Yeah, if you get maximum points against the small teams, it makes it much easier, of course. And I'm sure anybody else is going to say the same thing. But I think City away will be probably the hardest one, of course, you know, given their pedigree, having to go to the Etihad and play them there. But our fans travel well, and their fans seem to, like, you know, not really show up all the time. And midweek matchup might be a little bit hard for them.
They didn't show up to a Champions League final.
No, they didn't. I didn't even hear them. Yeah. I didn't even hear them. So, you know, I heard them afterwards on Twitter, but I didn't hear them during the match. So, not that I'm saying I'm not too worried about them. I am, of course. They are a good team, whether I want to admit it or not. But I do think that's a game that we actually could steal at least a point, you know, from them. I think that we don't have our anchor dragging us down. And by that, I mean Romelu Lukaku, who would, you know, stop us from scoring a goal anymore. And I think that now we have players that match up better and matured a little bit more. And by that, I mean, like, you know, you have a guy like Pavard available now to you, who we didn't have. You have Thuram, whose pace is going to be something that they have to worry about. They didn't have, you know, they had to worry about Dzeko and Lukaku the last time we played them. So now
we talked about this last week, that it's this trio is superior to that trio.
Superior. So. Like, I mean, it's not even a question. So I feel much better about it. And then and if you want to talk about Arsenal real quick, I'm going to say it's going to be at least a 3-goal win. I really have no fear of Arsenal, and I'm telling you, it's not even a trolling thing. I just think that Arteta tries to get them to do too much of what Pep does, where he almost has no identity himself with them. And I feel like they just show them highlights of what Man City does, and like, we're just going to copy and paste. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, Saka, you're our Foden. You know, I don't even know. Gabriel Jesus, who is their main striker now? I don't even know.
Gabriel Jesus. I think it's Kai right now. Kai is playing.
That's
up
right.
Top.
Yeah. Because they play in like a full. All right. Havertz is going to be our Haaland. And then Martinelli is going to be our. What? I mean, nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Grealish?
You don't even. That doesn't scare me at all. Their midfield. All right. Maybe, you know. Hakan and Barella. It doesn't matter. You can have Rice. You can have
Odegaard.
Oh yeah, Odegaard. It doesn't matter. I think that our three, even with Mickey, or is it whoever you want to throw in as the third, negates what their three could do.
Yeah.
Unless they do a double pivot of Partey and Rice, then it gets a little bit trickier. But I still think that we could break them down, no problem. And then their back line. Raya has a mistake in his game. You know, if Calafiori's playing as a left back and not a center back, that's going to be easier for whoever. I'm assuming at that point Dumfries will be, you know, the regular starter, and I think it'll be easier for him to get in behind if he wants to play that way. Which that's yeah. a whole other conversation, but we don't have to get into that. And our forwards are you can't just mark them or try to like take two out at once. You have to try to line up man for man against them, and their pace. Well, I'm sorry, Thuram's pace is enough to get in behind him, no problem. I don't see any center back that they have that is able to really keep up with him. So I feel extremely confident against that. And maybe it's false confidence. Maybe it's me taking a little bit of my disdain for their Twitter fan base and putting that in my thought process. But if I really sat down and looked at both of their play styles, that I would be able to really find that we could beat them, no problem.
Yeah, it's I'm excited just like to validate some of the stuff that we've talked about, whether it's Inzaghi over Arteta, whether it's Barella over Rice, whether it's the Bastoni-Saka matchup. It's just we finally get the opportunity to do some of that validation. So it'll be exciting. And those games are coming up pretty quick. So let's see who we get drawn. I mean, not who we get drawn, what the order of the games are going to be comes out tomorrow. All right. International call-ups here. We are heading into an international break. Yes. Already it's here.
Boring.
You hate it more so because of the fear of something happening. But I guess the biggest news is, so Sommer retired. He's not going. Pavard's not going. Acerbi's yep. not going. Bastoni yep. is. Calhanoglu is. Barella's not going. He's getting surgery on his nose to help him Thank breathe goodness. Better. Has Barella been working with a 50% engine? The guy can't even breathe, and this
the
is
guy
what
can't
we're
even breathe, and this is how he's playing. These are the goals he's scoring without even being able to breathe.
Jesus.
Bro.
Do you think he's
passed
up?
And you want me to worry about Arsenal? Do I think he's gonna be masked up? I don't know. I guess it depends on what they're like. If it's just a deviated septum, you might have to. Yeah, like because obviously post surgery, if I'm not mistaken, for the normal person, it takes about 3 to 4 weeks. Because I think my friend had this done, so like I think it took him like 4 weeks to get back to like his normal breathing habits. So yeah, maybe he would be wearing a mask and a masked up Barella. I mean,
that's gonna set Twitter on fire.
Set it on fire, and then the things he's gonna do, like, yo, if they give him that, like, who was it that had the black mask for Inter, like the nice like, slick one recently? No, the recently Kivu had the helmet. I'm talking about like had like a slick mask. Was it like a couple years ago? I feel like I'm drawing a blank. Was it Bastoni? Did Bastoni wear a mask?
No, I don't think Bastoni. Was it
Icardi? Right, anyway,
I don't know.
He would still look sick if he got that. So, I'm glad he's not going. I was actually hoping he wouldn't. Even without this, I feel like he, like we talked about
a little
about
revenge
it.
Against Spalletti for talking Don't. Shit.
Mm. That and him and Hakan are like, you know, our two most important players.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, I would have rather them not be able to go or for whatever reason it may be, you know, who knows, maybe Hakan says his, you know, his big toe hurts or something and he needs to stay home to get it looked at or whatever the excuse could be. But yeah, no, it's good for us. And not that I don't care about the national team, but I care more about Inter than I do, at least in this current state, the national team. So I would much rather have...
It's not a major cup competition going on right now. No, it, League is, of Nations, it is like, qualifying. Cares. Yeah, but...
Nobody cares.
It's like, you know, the season started and we're in Inter mode and that's our focus. But Lauti's going to go. Thuram's going to go. So you just have your fingers crossed. Fratesi's going as well. So you just have your fingers crossed and you hope for the best. All right. Groundskeeping done. Let's get into this game. First half. First 10 minutes, all about possess and press. Same thing we did against Lecce. Just come out of the gates firing, start hot at home. And we did so. Game starts with Darmian not being able to get to a DiMarco cross after a really nice Barella back heel. So that really started to get it going a little bit where you thought Barella might have a big game. And then you get the goal. Pavard back heels it into Mkhitaryan, who plays in Thuram. Lashes one across the goal. It didn't look like it was a shot on goal, but I think it hits Gimsiti, wrong foot, Skarneseki, and we go 1-0 up, actually. keep forgetting to do this too. Don't worry, I'll figure this out at some point. Share. So let's see here. All right. Plays it into that back heel from Pavard was really nice. Thuram gets it and wrong foot's Karaneseki. 4 minutes into the game, 3 minutes into the game, we take the lead once again.
Take the lead once again. It was a lot faster than I thought it would be, to be quite honest. So I'm very happy with that hot start. You know, I thought that it would take maybe 20 to 25 minutes for us to maybe get on the score sheet. But yeah, to get a quick one like that, even if it is an own goal, it still feels good. It's like relieves that pressure off the team. You don't have to play as tense or as tight. Not that they were. I thought that they were playing, you know, very progressive and wanting to be on the front foot from the start, but it definitely made things a lot easier going forward.
Yeah, and it's also one of those things where, like you said, 25 minutes in, you thought like that's when we would really get into the game, because most of the times when you have these big matchups, which against Atalanta, that is a big matchup, right? It's a Champions League side. It usually starts testy and cagey a little bit, but Inzaghi at least seems to want to get out of the blocks fast and hot and just press hard and possess the ball and really go at folks and catch them off guard. So it's good to see. Calhanoglu gets a free kick. My dog keeps jumping on my lap and trying to eat the mic. Calhanoglu has a free kick right at Karaneseki, but it was an interesting little move. And then eventually, 10 minutes into the game, Barella gets his goal, a stunning left-footed volley here. It says everything about the quality of the player, just being able to have this in his locker. All right, so we see the ball comes out. Barella runs onto it. I mean, that is just... that's sweet. One of the best goals you'll see in Serie A this year, without a doubt. Look at that. Jesus.
Nah, it's... you couldn't ask for a better goal. I mean, to do that on your weak foot, to strike it with such power and inaccuracy, to be able to get that in the way he did and beat Karaneseki, who looked a little shaky actually after the first goal. I felt like he was like a little
shell-shocked,
worried about everything. Yeah. And, just absolutely beautiful. And then an equally beautiful celebration after it. I mean, it was such the pure joy in Barella, who, you know, He plays like an excited kid, to be honest. Everything that he does, whether it's good or bad, there is some type of reaction. If things aren't going his way, there is a reaction. And he's a kid. He's just a passionate player, and I appreciate that so much about him. So a well-deserved goal, and yeah, to be up 2-0 right there, I felt like that was it, really. I didn't think that they would be able to get back into it.
Yeah, just world-class players having world-class moments. I don't think we've ever seen a left-footed volley from Barella. We've seen some bangers for sure, but they've usually been with his right foot. So this was really cool to see that he has this in his locker as well. There was some good hold-up play from Retegui. He gave Acerbi some problems in that first half. After those first 10 minutes and we went up 2-0, we dropped off and started selective pressing a little bit. There was a switch from Lazar to Zappacosta, who fired in a shot saved by Sommer. Samardzic started dropping deep and really looked up for the game. Obviously, he has a connection to Inter that fell apart at the last minute because of his dad. And after getting smacked 4-0 today, maybe he's feeling those regrets a little bit more. Some good hold-up play with from Thuram, had a nice 1-2 with Mickey to release Di Marco down the left-hand side. Then we took the foot off the gas completely. Retegui turned Acerbi in the box after a whipped-in ball from Lazar. Yeah, that shot went over the bar. That was the Acerbi looking like the age got to him a little bit, because Retegui is not really known for shaking people like that, and he got shook on that one. Then we hit the post. Thuram gets into the box. Shot bounces off the bar and goes wide. There was a header from Beshanini.
Did you think he should have passed to Mickey there?
Definitely he should have passed to Mickey there. But I feel
I didn't think so.
You didn't think so? You think it's a case of like striker, get your goal kind of thing?
Take it. I don't think he would have... Given the way the players were tracking back there too, I don't think he would have been able to get it over to him unless he played it early, which he took a few dribbles into the box. So yeah, I didn't really think that was going to be able to get across, and I think he did the right thing in that situation personally.
If he had laid it off, potentially you kill the game right in the first half, which would have been...
And then also potentially Mickey skies it over the net by about 3 feet. So
there's a chance that would be the case, but...
I'd say a pretty good chance that would be the case.
We'll get to Mickey at the end because I have some things that I want to say here. Okay. So there was a Beshanini header, a turn and release by Lauti for Chala. A nice combo with Barella and Thuram with a back heel. And then first half ends. It was mostly just like ineffectual Atalanta crosses there at the end of the first half. There's also a little fun moment between Thuram and Derun, where Derun was holding on to Thuram and he was just like, it looked like he was running in slow motion there. I need a gif of that immediately. But first half ends there. How were you feeling going into the second frame?
Totally confident. Really felt like I'd say for at least, I don't know, 43 of the 45 minutes, it felt like we were really in control of that first half. There was very few threats going forward. You know, like you said, the probably the biggest threat was that opportunity by Retegui, where he puts it over the crossbar, and that was really it. Like, I mean, I didn't really think that there was much to worry about. I think maybe the Samarčić, I don't remember. Yeah, that was in the first half where it went just wide. That kind of left Sommer standing still.
Yeah,
that might have been it too. But even the way he struck it, I wasn't really too worried about it myself. So I felt very good heading into it. I was like, you know what? Like, let's get a quick third one. That was my mindset. And, you know, then be able to get fresh legs out there and get some rest for our much needed players that should be getting the rest.
Speaking of getting a quick third one, almost immediately as the second half,
I got my wish.
Starts, we get a Bastoni plays in a throw in, and there's a bit of a scramble in the box, and Thuram just puts it in. That was one where I really felt like Atalanta was missing Isakin, because it just was uncharacteristic that you see something like this. So. It'll play back here in a second, but you see Bastoni just launch it into the box. I think an Atalanta player actually gets to it first. Let's see here. Come on. There you go. Like Jim City or something heads it right back, and there's just no one trying to get to it. Thuram just pokes it in like a real striker's goal, a real poacher's goal, which is not typically what we see from Thuram.
Yeah, no, very, very off character for him, which isn't a good thing. You do want to be able to see your strikers develop different little wrinkles in their game, and to see him be able to get that perfect poacher's goal, it kind of reminded me of the type of goals that's not our manager Inzaghi, but a different Inzaghi would be able to score. You know, a little less technical, just being able to get into the box, which that works. A goal still counts. It's not like you get, you know, prettier or more points for creativity, so... As long as it gets in the back of the net, I'm happy. He was obviously thrilled with the goal there and the finish. And I love that he was able to kind of outmuscle the defender who was kind of marking him there to be able to get his foot out in there and poke it in.
If they're going to decide not to be aggressive in their box and, you know, play that weakly in 100%. Their box, then yeah, you know, it's good having a striker who wants to fight for everything. So Inter goes up 3-0. Bastoni was winning a lot of head balls today. He went down for a second, looked like almost he was concussed, which was a little worrisome. He eventually was one of the first subs off the pitch for Carlos Augusto, so hopefully he's okay. DeMarco plays across to Lautaro, who volleys wide. Lauti was, as far as finishing is concerned, a little bit off the pace, but did a lot of good things. We'll get into it in a little bit. Lauti and Thuram combined to set Mickey on a breakaway. He puts it wide. Another volley attempt from Barella after a corner. I noticed that we were also building out from the back a lot with Mkhitaryan and Barella. Chala was stepping up the pitch. I don't know if it's because they had Brescianini and Samardžić maybe trying to mark him out of the game, but interesting new wrinkle from Inzaghi as far as our build-up play is concerned. And then eventually we get to goal number four. Another like kind of a similar thing here where another similar thing. A ball comes into the box. They're just not really being aggressive with it, and Thuram ends up putting it in, and we go up 4-0, which is it's good to see because you have Juventus beating the likes of Como and Verona 3-0, and everyone crowning them the eventual champions. But they forgot about Inter, and Inter could go out and do it to good teams too. So, just awesome to see. A nice poker from Inter.
I mean, you know, let's be honest. It's only the third match. We're not that great. It's Juve's year. If you listen to the way Juventini are talking, based off matches against, like you said, Como and Hellas Verona, top tier clubs in Serie A, difficult matchups. I mean,
they're in the Champions League?
Both in the Champions League, yeah. If you talk to Juventini, both outspent Juve. If you talk to Juventini, essentially, you know, it's incredible. It's incredible. Apparently Thiago Motta has restored faith to Juventini. They've never thought that this day would come. You would think that they were coming out of the most banter of banter eras with the way that they're talking about this Juve after two matches, having played absolutely nobody.
Yeah,
it's insane to me. You know, like they laughed at us for drawing Genoa.
They've been competing in Champions League.
I can't wait till you guys play them. I'm sorry. They were talking trash about the way that we beat Lecce, and now we went out and just smoked a lot of people's, myself included, pick to end up in a Champions League spot. I said second, even. I mean, 4-0 embarrass them. Like, what are they gonna say? What are they gonna say now? And who do they play now this weekend? Is it Monza or am I wrong?
Juventus is playing Roma.
Roma. Oh, my bad. Wow. I don't know why Monza came in my head. Okay. Let's see how they do against
Roma.
We're
playing Monza next.
Yeah, that's where my head was. But let's see how they do now against this. And Roma is underperforming massively.
They're a mid-table side right now. Like, I'm not talking about the standings because obviously that's where
they are based on that, but
their performance is mid-table. 100%.
So yeah, we'll see what happens with that matchup. It'll be interesting to see. I'm hoping that Sule and Dybala want revenge and go ahead and celebrate too, please, if they do. But I mean, the way I said it, even if it was Inter, I'd be like, it's two games in. Let's give it some time to see what happens, and then we can talk. But very happy with us now being in first place.
First place for the time being, and we go up 4-0 like fairly early in the second half. There's still a quarter of the game that needs to be played. Aslani and Carlos Augusto come in for Bastoni and Çalhanoğlu. Pasalic ends up firing a shot over the bar. You saw Lazar try to dribble in the box. He had a shot saved. There was a through ball for Lauti from Barella that was pretty nice, but I think it was called offside. Lauti ends up finding Thuram on a break. He ended up getting called offside, but he tried to play in a cross for Mickey. It was deflected behind by either Karnasecki or defender. Didn't quite get to Mickey. And then Mickey found Dimas on a break. He attempted one of those long shots like we saw was it Frosinone last year?
It was Frosinone,
yeah. But Karnasecki is not Durati, so he wasn't that far off the line.
Did you hear what Patrick Hendrick said?
No.
So after that shot was taken, he said, oh, maybe he did mean to score the one against Frosinone.
I doubt that he said that.
He did.
Did he actually say that?
I'm dead serious. I'm not even making that up. He
was
dead
Patrick
serious.
Patrick on the commentary?
Yeah.
Oh, I could. I had to turn it off after the first half where they were talking about like Juventus. We were winning 2-0 and they were talking about Juventus. I was like, okay.
It was Patrick Kendrick. I mean, he criticized Sommer for the save. You know, he said the one that Retegui came in and got the rebound. You know, he said something along the lines like, "Oh, was that a poor save?" You know, he was asking. I always forget the name of the co-anchor or whatever, the color commentator. Oh.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Used to play. Yeah. Fan. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was asking, was that a poor save? But I'm like, he made the save. Like,
yeah.
And if you look at it, he was going one way and he had to readjust and dive back to make the save. So how is that a poor save? Like,
yeah
maybe where it ended up in the box was poor, but where else is he going to put it? Like, he any chance that he has to say something negative about Inter or take a little knife and twist it at Inter, he takes it. No, never tries to.
It is like he's a commentator. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy. As far as like what I think he's a really good commentator. I do think
I don't anymore.
I do think that you see the same thing with Nima, honestly, like where really, really talk up every team that starts doing well that's not Inter. So. You know, it is what it is.
I don't think it's the same thing. I don't think so. His bias is so anti-Inter. It's ridiculous. Like we give Nima a hard time, but in reality, I think Nima tries to be fair and tries to spread it around Serie A, where he doesn't try to like, you know, I mean, obviously he's an Inter fan, but he doesn't try to make it too obvious all the time.
Yeah.
Clearly, we tease him about it. Whereas the anti-Inter rhetoric from Patrick Kendrick is annoying. Like I've had to tweet about it because
there have been some comments that have been
and then just even like the slight jabs that he throws, you know, it's like, dude, like I don't know what they did to you. I don't know if Inzaghi stole your high school prom date or something. Like I don't know. I really have no idea. But it's to the point where I can't listen to you anymore because your bias is so obvious. Like I need you to stop.
Yeah. And, like, I muted the longest it after time, they were up 2-0 and they started talking about Juve's Scudetto challenge. Like, okay, yeah. You're watching. This is the marquee game of Serie A so far this season. Napoli-Bologna was the biggest game before this. This was the marquee game against two sides that are competing in the Champions League. And they started talking about Juve and I was out on that. All love for, you know, people over at Paramount. There's some people there that obviously really, really love the sport and do their best. But I wasn't a fan of the commentary, especially in that first half. All right, moving on. Fratesi and Taremi come on for Barella and Thuram. Interesting that Zielinski still does not make his debut. We'll talk about this later because we got a lot of questions on it. Toloi had a wayward shot. Lauti plays it in for Fratesi, who put the ball in the box. Di Marco gets on the end of it and puts it into the net, but it was ruled out for offside. Then Arnautovic comes in for Lautaro, combined really well with Taremi a few times. Missed a couple chances, whether you want to call. There's definitely a chance that he missed. I think it was a corner kick from Aslani that was whipped in that hit him in the knee and went over the bar that you would expect him to do better with. The breakaway that he got that he laid off for Taremi, how do you feel about the decision that he made there?
I know I'm going to get like flack for this, but I loved it.
Me too.
You got a new guy that you're trying to make him feel like he's a part of the club.
Yep.
You're trying to make him feel comfortable, take a little bit of the stress that's on him, and you're trying to lay off a sitter for him to just tap in. And I think if had Taremi continued his run, because I think he was expecting Arnautovic to shoot. Yeah, of course. Which I mean, I'm sure anybody else in that position would feel the same way. But I think that if he would have continued his run, it would have been an easy goal for him. And we would be here talking about, wow, what an unselfish player Arnautovic is. And now, you know, people are, you know, complaining about he's the fourth striker. I was more disappointed with the follow-up opportunity of the ball that was crossed in that he put over the crossbar.
Yeah.
More so than him laying off that chance for Taremi. Like, I loved it. I was like, you know what, man? That's awesome. Good for you. Like, yeah, you're a striker. Strikers want their goals. And here you are trying to be a team player, like giving up your own glory to help someone else who's new to the club, who, you know, may feel a little bit of pressure. I'm sure he's not feeling a ton because he's the third striker. And we know that Emi's got quality. The goals will come. But it's like, hey, let me give him a tap in. Let me give him an easy one just to get his account open with the club and score his first one here at the San Siro. I'm sure that's exactly what Arnautovic was thinking. And for all the people who complain about him and have issues with that, or, you know, they'd like to say he stinks, he's this, he's that. And listen, there's a lot of things where he has shortcomings, and there's a lot of things where I was very happy with the rest of his play. I thought that his runs were good. I do think that he was, you know, aside
consistently outside of his finishing, consistently the play has been good. It's the finishing that's been bad, but outside of that, it's looked pretty good.
I mean, like, let's be real. It's awful. You know, these are strikers. You're in professionals. You expect them to put these in the net with some of the opportunities he's had. But, you know, I guess because we're Inter and you know, they expect, you know, from the days when we had Vieri, Ronaldo, Adriano, and Recoba up front, that they want four world-class players and then two who are unhappy with being backups and, you know, saying stuff. You know, I don't know what you expect. I don't know. You know our financial situation. You know what's going on. And for him as a four striker, I am very happy with his efforts. I'm very happy with his performances. And maybe I have lower expectations than other people of what a four striker is supposed to do. I don't know. Call me crazy, but
they're supposed to do exactly that, play for the last 10, 15 minutes max at the end of a game.
But somehow outproduce, you know, Lautaro and Turan, I guess.
The feeling is that people want from their fourth striker is like someone that's going to be there decisive during the games. It's like during decisive games. Against Juve, right? They would play Lautaro, Taremi, and Turan. Right, they're not like trying to bring on Arnautovic unless it was either an injury and they had to, or they're already up and they're just seeing out the game. So,
for those who are upset about, do you want to see Correa instead? Like, ask yourself that question: do you want to see Joaquin Correa instead? And if you do, more power to you. You're insane, but more power to you.
They didn't want to see either of them, I think. But anyway. It's very simple for me. It's very simple for me. What means more? 5-0 or Taremi's first goal for Inter at the San Siro in front of the home crowd? Taremi's first goal. The fact that he made that decision there on the pitch, like while being on the pitch, you know, we're saying, oh, obviously you'd rather have Taremi get his first, but, you know, he was on the pitch for that and he thought about his teammate. So that says a lot about him.
100%.
It says a lot about him. So, all right, game ends 4-0. Inter on 7 points. Yep, 7 points right now. Top of the league. 6-0 in our last 180 minutes. So, feeling good heading into the international break. Let's do these player ratings quick because we've got a ton of questions, not a ton, but a good amount of questions here that we're going to go ahead and answer. So we'll start with Sommer. Anything that you saw from him that felt unsafe or shaky? I think in the first half, that comment by Patrick Kendrick was made either there was a shot that he just like parried straight down and it was in a dangerous area, I guess maybe people there, or it was a pass that was into a dangerous area. But anything from Sommer that you saw today that gives you concern, or you want to praise him particularly?
Okay. Nah, I loved his play. I felt very secure with him at the back. There was nothing to worry about. And to me, it was a 7 out of 10 performance. Like, you know, not really tested much, so you can't really give him more, but he did what he had to do, and I'm fine with that.
Okay. Backline, Bastoni, Acerbi, Pavard. I thought Acerbi looked a little shaky against Retegi in the first half, but great after that. He was really good. Really good going forward today, or just more expansive. I don't know if it was super effective.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he was really good, but yeah, I would say yes, more expansive for sure. A little bit more of a risk taker in sometimes. Not that he put us in dangerous situations, but he was leaving his position and getting further up the pitch. So,
yeah, it was that Mkhitaryan and Barella dropping back, and then he was going into the midfield, which is a different look. So I thought he had a good game. Bastoni, I think, won every single aerial duel. I thought defensively he was awesome. I love the fact that he wasn't that involved today and we still had a huge game. Because typically if you look at, you know, the pass maps and the data afterwards, Bastoni is like top in touches, top in passes, you know, just super, super influential. Today wasn't the case. He just had to be good defensively and we still won 4-0. That is a huge win for me.
Yeah, no, it's very big when you have a guy like Bastoni who cannot have, you know, maybe his best performance by any means, and you're still able to be effective, and he's able to be effective in what's most important, which is the defensive side. So very happy with his play. Something that I've always, not always, but I've been critical of in the past is his defensive play, and I feel like since January of this year, he's grown leaps and bounds, and I think he's a player that's really irreplaceable at this point. So very thrilled with his performances, and I hope he keeps this up the rest of the year.
Yeah, part of our core. So it's good to see that, you know, he just did his job tonight and he didn't have to put the team on his back. Pavard, effective when he did decide to go forward, didn't do it much, but effective when he did. Really solid defensively, just a good game from him that continues to sort of quiet down the bisexuals that want him to start. All right, the flanks. DiMarco, much better today than the last two matches.
Way better. Yeah, it's night and day seeing him play today, and was very happy with him not only going forward but even tracking back, which I feel like that's been, you know, something that's for sure been a weakness of his in the past. I felt like he really did want to make it a point to make sure that Bellanova didn't get too much space to be able to run into and be effective on that right flank, because that is, you know, his speed is a danger, and his crossing has improved much. So it's very good that we were able to get a solid defensive performance out of DiMarco.
He was also just a lot more, he looked sharper going forward. And he got 100%. 85 minutes today. What?
And running full speed for 85. Running.
Like, yeah,
you think he's on steroids? He's on that. He's on that Gasperini gas.
Maybe that's why he lost his hair.
I mean, it's possible.
It's possible.
Get Darmian, the room started. Just kidding, people.
Darmian has been good, man. He's just been good. He's just been solid.
There's no reason. I mean, there's really no reason to bench him.
It's not. I think at our best. My dog is like losing it right now. At our best, Dumfries and DiMarco are the best going forward. But Darmian, like, it's more balanced. The team has more balanced with Darmian, because DiMarco, we've talked about this, he's essentially a left winger. Bastoni roams, and you can kind of shift over everybody. Pavard even plays further than Darmian sometimes, and Darmian can sort of slot into that back line. We don't need him to do much. It's working. This team is very fluid. So I appreciate what Darmian is doing this season. And I'm okay with seeing more of it. And I didn't feel that way going into the season. I really did not. I thought this would be a very weak point of the team. It's been solid. Çalhanoğlu, Mkhitaryan, Barella. Barella is the obvious standout.
Not even a question.
The flicks, the tricks, the switches of play. He was having fun today. Great to see.
Loved every minute of him being out there. He's the best midfielder in the world. I don't want to hear it anymore from anybody else. I don't want to hear anything. He is unbelievable. And the fact that he's doing this... And it's like he just is able to just keep. He literally is like the Energizer Bunny. He could just keep going and going, and he's running, and the effort's there. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I'm running out of words to say to describe Nicolò Barella's play and his level of importance to this club.
Speaking of the Energizer Bunny, Mkhitaryan, his best game of the year so far. Somehow, some way, another 90 minutes completed for the 35-year-old Henrik Mkhitaryan, who in the first half, there were a couple giveaways. I felt the blood pressure going up. I felt the, you know, desire to start tweeting that we've got to get over the Mickey, this Mickey Renaissance and call it for what it is. But he was super, super involved in everything good that Inter did today. Still going to say that Zielinski is a better player, a better fit for this team. But it's nice to see a little bit of a rebound for Mkhitaryan after what's been two really disappointing displays.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a good bounce back. It is something that, I mean, I know we're going to talk about it, that I'm a little just concerned with like what is going on with Zielinski here, because I don't know how you could just keep playing this guy.
We got a bunch of legs, questions about it, so we can address it.
Till his legs
then.
Fall off, I guess. I guess that's the play, but anyway.
Yeah, but good today, so can't say too much. Hakan Çalhanoğlu, not very influential, yet Inter still wins 4-0. Same thing as Bastoni. He just did what he had to do. He didn't have to do extra. It's good. It's good. He didn't have to work super hard today. So good for us that we can get the results even when Çalha doesn't have to step up that much. Lautaro. Amazing effort to make it here today after fatigue in his adductor, I think. Adductor? I'm not quite sure. How do you say that? Adductor? 83 minutes today. Hold up play, they looked for him. He did well in the hold up play. Releasing the third man on the run, did well in that. A couple misplaced passes, but for the most part, he did well in that. His opportunities, not so great. And there was a couple moves where he looked a little slower than everybody else. How do you assess Lautaro's performance today, knowing that the preseason he did not have the same amount of time as everyone, the injury he's coming off of, but he is our captain, he is our capocannoniere. What do you make of Lautaro's performance today?
The goals will come. You know, I think form will pick up here soon. I think we just need to be patient. You know, the guy played at the Copa America, and that is a very taxing tournament on your body. It is not like Serie A. Very physical, a lot of cheap shots, a lot of, you know, stomping on your foot and elbowing in places you don't want to be elbowed and pulled down when you're going up for stuff in the air. Like, it's not easy. It is pretty ruthless. And the way, you know, Colombians even feel about Argentinians, it's not great. So I'm sure there was some things that, you know, we didn't get to see on camera that occurred. And, you know, it's a quick turnaround too for when preseason starts, and he had to get that rest in and be able to get back up to speed and allow his body to recover. So I'm not too concerned with it. Yeah, you know, do I wish he was scoring? Absolutely. But right now Turam's doing that. And that's kind of what you want from a player, you know, from your second striker, to be able to pick you up when the other one isn't performing up to his standards. So maybe because things are working out for us now, it's not a concern in my opinion. Maybe if, you know, further down the line, this tends to be, keeps being a problem, or it's, you know, the goals dry up for Turam or whatever it is, then you could start worrying. But until then, I feel totally fine with it. And I'm sure that he will turn around for us.
A month in the US too. It's not like he was in Europe playing in the Euros.
Not getting
like
good food. I bet that either, right?
Eating like shit. In the U.S.
Going
heat.
To Wendy's, you know, they were in Miami. He probably went to Pollo Tropical and then had himself a nasty chicken and rice dinner, you know, if you want to call it, you know, arroz con pollo down there. So, yeah, it's I'm sure he's still recovering, man. And
I guess that restaurant will not be sponsoring Interviews Pod after.
I hope not, but. But listen, there's a little place on Coral Way. Well, it used to be there. I don't know if it's still there. But when I lived in Miami, it was called La Cremita. If you want some good Cuban food, that's where you hit. If they want to sponsor us, we can put them on a sleeve for the next jersey or something. But
I can promise you they're not sponsoring us now, but hopefully with Johnny's endorsement, we can get something
if they're
done
still
there.
Open. If not, then hey, well, welcome Digital Bits, right?
We just signed a sponsorship with a blockchain company. So really forward thinking Inter here, which is not typical for sides in Italy.
We don't.
Thuram, 3 goal contributions today. The own goal it's on him.
It's
he was
goal.
Played in.
It's
and,
his.
You know, he was the one that put it into the
I've
danger.
I've spoken with the Statcasters over at Lega Calcio. They will be crediting Marcus Thuram with that third goal. So now we got
beautiful.
5 goals, 3 matches. I mean, he's on a pace of 110 goals. I don't know. I just made that up, but he's.
Yeah, we got to get into him. There was questions about him and what this means for his season, but they did say on commentary that it looks like it's going to be his season, which I appreciated because this looks like we saw a dangerous player.
What questions were there about him? Who had questions?
I'll go through.
Booyah?
No.
Oh, you're talking about questions for the pod. I thought you meant like in general, like, you know, like there's questions about him, you know. All right, anyway.
Questions for the pod.
Gotcha. Sorry.
So I think we're seeing last year we saw a really dangerous Thuram. I think we're seeing a player who's now like, I know this league. Like, I know what I need to do to make the impact. And he's showing up. He is showing up. And the 2 goals that he scored today, I love the fact that they were like shithouse goals. I love that.
Yep.
You know? Get a little dirty in the box. It's
ugly poacher's goals. Give them to me.
Yeah. So several subs. We talked about Arnautovic, so we won't go through that today. We won't go through that anymore, I should say. Carlos Augusto and Davide Fratesi, first off the bench. Augusto, same thing that we said last week. Defensively, a beast. Did not have to see him get forward because he was playing left center back, which I think we'll see a lot of this year. So just really feels good to have someone as reliable as him come off the bench for us.
Yeah, no, it's something that I think goes unheralded for sure. His input defensively and his work rate, it's always there. It's never lacking. Maybe it won't be the smoothest of play style. Maybe it'll have, you know, some things that you wish were a little bit better, but the effort will never be lacking with him, and you gotta love that. I think that's something that, you know, Interisti could really, really endear themselves to, is a player who gives it all for the colors, and that's huge.
The Brazil call up means a lot to him. And I would like to see him play more. Obviously DiMarco was outstanding today, but he deserves it. Like, he's not of the quality of a bench player. He has starter qualities and potential. So I hope he does get back into the Brazil side, and I hope he does play more for Inter. Aslani, it's the same story every week, looking a little bit out of sorts defensively and hitting a couple of nice, like, long balls and switches up the pitch. It's literally the same story. Every single time we see him, it's the tackling doesn't make sense. The positioning, he gets caught out, and then he'll hit a couple gorgeous switches. And that's it. That's what he does.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse with him, so I'll just echo everything that you just said, and I don't know what it's going to take to change that, but hopefully something eventually clicks with him.
Fratesi off the bench gets a lot more time. Also, a similar story. Not super involved in the play, except when it comes to being around the box in the penalty area in the final third, where, you know, we saw that he had a couple opportunities to be dangerous. We almost got a couple goals out of it, so that's what he does. There's not a lot to say about him. Taremi combines super well with Arnautovic. Who do you think is the better strike partner for Taremi, Lautaro or Thuram?
I think Taremi and Lautaro have too many similarities in their game. So I would say Thuram, because he brings that pace and that ability to dribble his man. And I think that his hold-up play is good enough that if he does beat his man, he's able to hold it up and wait for Taremi to catch up to him and join the attack. So, I know Nima didn't think that it was the best first partnership between Taremi and Thuram, but I think it's only going to get better. And I really do think going forward that would be a more impressive duo up top in terms of chemistry and output.
I think they in and around the box would combine really well. Like, they'd be able. Yeah. Taremi has good vision. Like, you saw it today with the link up play with Arnautovic. Yeah, he's really good player. It's like this. It's like what we said last time. We're always gonna see Augusto. We're always gonna see, even though we didn't see Dumfries today, which is interesting. We're always gonna see Taremi. Hopefully. All right, so that is all of the player ratings. Let's get into these questions here. Okay. We have a question from at Indro Hari 1908 on Twitter. Do you guys think DiMarco does a doping? DiMarco did a sprint in 85 minutes. Unbelievable. You said that. You literally said that.
Honestly, and I didn't even look at the questions. I'm not even kidding. No, I don't think he's actually doping. Although it would be somewhat funny, maybe, if he was. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. I don't think so. Listen, he can do it for the national team. So it's like, why can't he do it for club as well? Now, I do think it's good of Inzaghi to rotate them. I think that's a smart thing to do, especially if you're trying to hold the lead. I think that Augusto is better defensively and would be able to provide more defensively than DiMarco does. He likes to give his man a little bit too much space. So I think that's why he rotates them so much, or you're pretty much always guaranteed to get, you know, new wingbacks. So, the potential's there. I just I don't think it has to involve juicing. Although, who knows? Like we said jokingly, you know, maybe that is what's causing the hair loss. But you would also think he would do better if it was. So,
yeah. No, he's not. He's not doping.
Are you sure?
He just had a great game. He just had a great game, and we couldn't take him off. All right. So here's the thing. You guys asked. 6 questions about this Mkhitaryan and Zielinski.
6 of them.
Yeah. Situation. Let's go through. Let's read all of them off the bat, and then we'll have a sort of a bigger discussion. So, at Jerkbag Jerk says, when is Inzaghi going to rest Mickey? Average Kesa asks, is Zielinski dead? Up 4-0 by the 60th minute, and he rides the bench. At M6 Adam _, do you guys think Inzaghi's subs are always late? Most teams make... actually, we'll save that one. He does ask about Mickey, but we'll save that one. After.
Yeah, save that.
When do you at I am Ant Pharaoh, when do you think Zielinski will become a solidified starter over Mickey this season?
November 1st.
Why isn't Zielinski playing? Did he suffer an injury? At rguru _2k19, so far so good. When we will be seeing Zielinski for Mickey? So all of this is basically asking, why haven't we seen Zielinski yet? And are we going to see him from the start? Is he going to take Mkhitaryan's spot? And why does Mkhitaryan never need rest? Like, why does he constantly, Inzaghi is running him into the ground? I'll let you take this away here.
So which one do we want to start with out of those?
So why don't we start with, why haven't we seen Zielinski?
Okay. I do think that there is some type of knock that he's picked up. I don't know if it's something major. Clearly it's not. If they are able to keep him on the bench, if it was something a little bit bigger, they would obviously remove him from that. But I think that he feels, hey, we got these games to control, or even when they are late, we, you know, if we're chasing a goal, not that you don't need Zielinski. He's like, but I can still throw on, you know, Aslani. I can still throw on Fratesi. Fratesi does chip in goals, whether, you know, I like them or not, that's different. You know, I would like a little bit more out of him. in different aspects. But regardless, I think that it does have to do with, you know, maybe something a little bit, and they just want to keep him, you know, fresh, because it is, like we've all said repeatedly, a long season, and you would much rather have Zielinski later in the year and not, you know, not have him, you know, maybe pick up a bigger knock or something that keeps him out for a lengthier, you know, amount of time. I could have sworn, and maybe I'm wrong, I would have to like honestly do my research in it, but I could have sworn at some point at the end of preseason there was a little something with him.
He missed the first game. He missed the Genoa game. Wasn't even on the bench because of an injury that he picked up.
That's it. Okay.
And he was
It could just be lingering, and they are, you know, just monitoring it and making sure that, you know, nothing gets worse or whatnot. So I'm okay with it. Do I want him to play? Obviously. And I do think at some point in the season, he will be taking his spot, Mickey's spot, that is.
So you and, do think that Zielinski is going to become the starter?
I do, personally. And it's on no basis. Like, it's not like I know something different.
You just think that he's going to dazzle when he plays, and that it's going to be...
And it's going to be like, we can't keep this guy on the bench. He's offering us more than what Mkhitaryan offers us.
Nima talks about this concept of like European football, teams that play European football, right? You have the Serie A, the Italian game, but there's a different kind of game that's needed on the European stage. Do you think that Zielinski fits that mold a little bit more than what Inzaghi wants in Serie A? Because I could see a scenario where Zielinski is the European game player and Mkhitaryan is the Serie A player. Because it's different going up. You kind of need Zielinski against Leipzig, you know, when you think about the level of quality on the pitch. But Mkhitaryan can handle Lecce. He can handle Cagliari. Is that, you think there's anything to that?
I mean, it very well could be, you know. I mean, I'm obviously not privy to that information or that thought process that Inzaghi has. I think you and I even see the game differently from, you know, in different aspects. And I think that obviously, like, I see differently than what Inzaghi sees. And clearly I'm, you know, nowhere near as successful or intelligent with football as he is. But I do think that, you know, there could definitely be something there that he does think that I would much rather have Zielinski, who's able to break down the lines when there is more of an openness and more space for him to be able to work within, as opposed to Mickey, who, listen, for the things I don't like, I will say he does put effort in tracking back and playing defensively. So that does, you know, probably bode well for him in terms of, you know, playing time in Serie A. So that very well could be it. Now, I like players who are more progressive, who offer more offensively, who have a little bit more flair, better passing and stuff like that. I mean, that's why I've always, I mean, if you look at my favorite players, I think my top three are, you know, well, I'll have to say four because this guy's up there too, but it's, you know, Schneider, Royce, Ozil, and Eriksen. What do they all have in common? The ability to pass, break down defensive lines and
game breakers. You know,
yeah. So, I mean, that's why I want Zielinski out there instead of a Mkhitaryan. But if I want to get wins, I do think Mkhitaryan, in terms of what he offers defensively, would be better. Because Zielinski could be, you know, he can't be lazy. We saw it at Napoli.
He's definitely not going to track back the way.
He's not. He's not. It's just not in his game. So that exactly could be the thought process that Inzaghi has.
Yeah, it's I want to see him. I just want to see him. I was positive.
I want to see him.
We
brought him in for a reason. I want to see him.
I was positive we were going to get him today, but it didn't shake out like that. I think one of the other sort of knock-on effects of this not playing Zielinski thing is that Mkhitaryan's been on the pitch and Çalhanoğlu and Barella have been the ones getting rest. So like you can't hate that. Like you don't want to put too many 90s on those legs early in the year. So if I have
especially
to put
since
90s
we're going
on,
to a Champions League final and a you know a Club World Cup final, you want them fresh.
Yeah, it's a lot of football. To that sentiment, let's move on here to somebody asked. Hold on, bear with me. Bear with me. @aperson1352 asked treble season. Thoughts?
What do we just consider any three trophies a treble season, or are we talking about one of them has to be a European competition for us?
Is it the classical treble?
So not a domestic treble?
No.
Now, okay. Could it be Serie A, Supercoppa, and one of the European trophies? Are we going to say that's a treble? Or it has to be the Coppa Italia?
It's got to be the traditional treble.
Then I'm going to say no.
Domestic cup, domestic competition, and...
I'm going to say no. Only because the Coppa Italia, I don't think we're going to take seriously.
Yeah.
And I hope we don't take seriously.
Yeah.
Eight games guaranteed in the Champions League. I want that to be the focus over, you know, playing Empoli in the round of 16. Have they even put out the Coppa Italia round of 16 yet?
I don't think so. Oh, they have. They have, actually.
Did they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've released the schedule. But for me, this is as confident I've felt in an Inter squad in, you know, a long time. But
not yet.
I don't love the amount of games that we have to play.
For sure.
I don't love the amount of games that we have to play. I'm very nervous about how that's going to shake out. Okay. At @M6Adam_, do you guys think Inzaghi subs are always late? Most teams make double or even triple subs at the 60th minute, but I don't remember Inzaghi doing that. So he did, like, the 64th minute, I think, make the Fratesi and Augusto change. I don't think that they're too late, because the halftime subs are either if you need to switch something up tactically, you know, or there's an injury. We haven't really needed to do that. Like, we're either going into the second half like it's tied, or, you know, we have the advantage and there's not really a need for him to switch up things. He always uses five subs. Like, I like that. We're always getting the five subs used. As far as it being too late, I think you can have the conversation about too late if like the game is calling for something and he's not doing it. That hasn't really been the case here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's learned since probably December of last season, because I would say early on in last season he would wait too long to make subs. And I think once January came around is when he really started, like, using his subs properly, bringing people on when we were, like, crying out for them, and bringing the right people on. I think that's also important, that you don't just bring on people for the sake of bringing somebody on. You bring in somebody who can have an impact and be able to really help out there. So, I think he's definitely improved for sure. And I don't think it's late anymore. I'm sure at some point it'll be like a Milan game where he'll wait too long and I'll get upset, but right now he's got it figured out.
Yeah, I think it's really good that he uses all five and we get to see our squad week in and week out. At @Sniper_11, is Arnautovic's confidence lower than the floor? I don't think his confidence is low at all. I think he's missed a lot, but he's not playing like an unconfident player. I think he actually feels very confident.
Unconfident
when he gets out there.
Player doesn't want the ball at his feet at all. He's trying to pass it as quickly as possible every time. Doesn't want to dribble. Doesn't even want to. Even if they have space, they don't want to dribble if they're unconfident. So I don't think he's unconfident. I do think that, yes, you know, the finishing has not been good by any means, but I don't think his confidence is lacking.
Is Acerbi the best center back in the league?
You want me to answer that, or you want to take it?
That was his question. He has three questions.
No, Acerbi is not the best center back in the league.
I agree. Who's the best center back in the league? I'm thinking just like center back. I think it's Bremer. But
I was gonna say Buongiorno.
I was thinking also Buongiorno too, but
I'll say, although he hasn't he played on the left side.
Yeah.
Now, but If we're talking about just center back, well, now I don't even think Bremer plays center. Now they play in a back four.
They play in a back four. You're right.
So, if we're just saying center back, then I guess Acerbi by default is.
Yeah.
Since the other guys have been moved around.
It's either he and.
Listen, the right answer is it's Tomas Palacios is the best center back in the league.
21-year-old, 13 games in the Argentinian top flight.
But if we're going by those parameters, like who is a center back, then yes, Acerbi is.
Yep. Other center backs that you can, if they were playing,
if I was making a top three, see, that's tough too, because I mean,
Stefan De Vrij?
No, come on. Buongiorno, Bremer, Acerbi, and Bastoni would be in my mix.
Yeah.
I would say less for Bastoni on the defensive side, more for what he could provide going forward.
Yeah, I agree. We almost had Bremer on this team too. And Buongiorno. Anyway, this group has played such a beautiful brand. This group has played such a beautiful brand of football. How will it hold up in the UCL?
Ooh, that's a great question.
Yeah, I'm super confident in this team over two legs. I think one-off games like traveling away to Man City, traveling away to Leverkusen, like anything can happen in football.
Absolutely.
There's no team that I'm coming up against that I'm not confident that we can gain a result. I think over two legs, you know, having the full 180 minutes to do it, I feel better. But
as long as we don't do what we did against Atletico Madrid.
I think the squad is better than last year.
You're right. I'll give you that for sure. Yeah.
All right. At FC Andre 1908, would you take Trent Alexander-Arnold on a free next year as a replacement for Dumfries? I mean, I'd obviously take him. It's not happening. It's definitely not happening. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would agree. He would definitely give me Hakimi vibes for sure.
But it's almost now you don't even know because he's been shifted inside so much lately.
I still think he can do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you tell him, like, hey, you don't have, well, that's the thing, though. If you start him and DiMarco, that's a problem. If you start him and Carlos Augusto, very different. Very different. Because you could almost do what the national team did when Conte was manager, right? Where one of the wingbacks kind of drops back and plays defensively, and the other wingback is allowed to just free roam and do what he wants.
Little asymmetric.
Yeah, so that's where it gets a little tricky. It's definitely an interesting thought. I agree with you. It's not going to happen. We're not going to. One, we can't afford him. Two, I don't think he would ever want to leave England. I don't think.
I could see him going to like Real because they can afford his wages.
Yeah, but it's very rare for English players to want to come to Italy. And I'm not counting McTominay because he's Scottish. I'm talking about like actual English. Like, who's the last one that you can remember?
Ashley Young.
Oh shoot, yeah, Ashley Young, forgot about that. I was gonna say Joe Hart, but yeah, Ashley Young was the last one. I mean, and that was on the tail end of his career, so
yeah,
although he's still playing for Everton, crazy.
You know, the thought of Pavard, Barella, Trent, and Thuram mining on the right hand side of the field is insane.
I mean, it would be nice.
It would be insane.
Am I wrong? Is Hakimi available on a free next year?
2026? I thought it was 26.
Maybe it's 26. Yeah, you're right. Actually, that sounds...
He'll be available for something next year because he's not renewing with PSG. That's for sure.
Now, I mean, Zio Beppe, if you want to do me, you know, can you do something for me?
Let's see. They may sell... You know,
let's just do a swap, just a straight swap. Dumfries for Hakimi. He's locked in on his contract, and the other guy's walking. Now you got a player in.
Who knows? Luis Enrique could be a big Dumfries fan. At a person 1352, we've heard from him a few times today. Asks Thuram Capocannoniere. I love this question. I love the thought of him He's already out to a lead over Lautaro. He could be He could be growing into like that second season, like rocket prolific ship.
I'll say no, but I'm going to ask you this rebuttal. Let's say he does win. Does that mean that he gets sold in the summer? Does somebody come in
and question. Make
an offer? Yeah, he's
if
gone,
he
right?
scores, it's not even if he gets Capo Cannoniere. If he 20? Scores 20,
he's
it's
gone.
Over.
He's
without
gone.
Without question. No doubt about it. The only way I see Thuram getting a third
$5
season.
$5 side bet?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. I'll say if he gets 20, we don't sell him.
He's gone.
I think it's more me wishful thinking. Deep down, I know he's gone. But
dude,
anyway.
If Oaktree is still the owners.
I might as well
bet
you $5 right now because that's it's probably happening.
If Oaktree are still the owners next summer and they got a release clause, they probably don't even have to meet the release clause, honestly. If they got a capital gain of 65, it's over, dude. It's over. And you're going to have to root for Jonathan David for the next 5 years.
Stop. Stop it. Honestly, this podcast would be nuked if Jonathan David ever came to Inter. I'm not even I would nuke it to the ground. You would have to find a new somebody else to do this with. I'm not even kidding. I would lose my mind. I would watch the WNBA before I would watch Jonathan David in Inter colors.
He would be coming in younger than Thuram when Thuram came in.
I don't care if he's coming in with $100 million to help us buy transfers. That guy should never, ever. He is Napoli level, at best.
I think that it's gonna happen. I don't
stop,
know why.
Bro, stop.
I
stop.
Think it's gonna happen. So I'm stop. Trying not to kill the idea in my head right now. But anyway, we're going on a little tangent here. All right, last question. Oh no, we already answered.
You just ruined my day, bro. Just
we already answered
the
it.
Thought of that. I'm just my day.
You brought
ruined,
up, dude. I'm getting sold, bro. What
I didn't bring up. I wouldn't bring up. I was gonna ask like, who would you want if you get? But now you just brought up that bum. Oh gosh.
You know, you know who the ideal coming in would be if Thuram left.
Yeah, Benjamin Sesko.
I
didn't even know you were gonna say that. That's who I really would want if I.
Damn it! If
that would be the ideal guy for me too.
It's the perfect swap. It's the perfect swap.
The pace is not there. The pace is not there.
No, but the technique is better.
Ooh. Yeah,
his technique is superior.
I think you're right. I think his technique is better. Yeah.
And let's see if he scores a bunch. I mean, it's not really going to be possible because if he scores a bunch for Leipzig this year, it's going to be, you know the.
If he scores a bunch for Leipzig, he's probably going to Bayern Munich.
The biggest transfer in the EPL was only 63 or 65 this summer for
Solanke,
which is it's wild on two fronts.
He is so bad.
That was the player that commanded it, and that was the height of it. I think that there might be a little shift here going on. There might be a little shift. I think the Osimhen transfer. I haven't checked Twitter in a second, so.
Haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah, that might break it. But
bro, Sesko, man,
it's weird. There hasn't been like that.
That's honestly the only place I would want that money to go.
Do you think owners got a little tired of what $100 million, €100 million means when they see Caicedo, Mudrik, you know?
Well, Chelsea
guys
doesn't care.
Like that.
I think you know they're. Last I saw, Chelsea's trying to get Jadon Sancho too. Like, how many wingers do you need? How many wingers do you? All right, anyway, we're getting off on other teams here.
Okay. Need him to go there though, because you don't want.
If he goes to Juve, he ain't doing nothing either. Like,
he's a good player.
He's English.
He is English. Let's finish it off with this one last. This wasn't a question that was asked, but it was something that was discussed on Twitter this week. Raul Bellanova, since we were having a little reunion.
Opportunity lost.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going with? Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Opportunity lost.
It's just...
It's crazy. For a club that needs money to redeem him for seven, even if you thought, oh, you know what? We're going to keep Dumfries, or like, if he comes, if you keep him, listen, it's not a knock on Tejan Buchanan. I actually do think there's a player there.
I think I 100% think there's a player there, but yeah, also the player is there. I would rather have there.
Italians.
The player is there because he played under Juric for a full season, which wasn't happening at Inter.
But all right, let's say you buy him and like you loan him out because you do. You, at the time, you still had Dumfries and Darmian. I would much rather have the ownership, and now you could you could have been the ones that profited 18 million on a player. Yep.
That's the answer. I don't have anything more to say to it. That's the answer. You would have loaned him out. And I can't even think where that...
We loan out everybody else. Like, why couldn't we have just bought him and then loaned him out to... Like, I would have been fine with him going to Torino. That would have been perfect, honestly.
You know, if we knew about the Lukaku deal earlier in the summer, we would have signed Dzeko. We would have re-signed Dzeko.
We would have signed Dybala.
But instead of doing that $10 million for... Instead of throwing that $10 million at...
Arnato, look, so let's say you don't throw that $10 million, right? You re-sign Dzeko because you already owned him. You get Dybala on a free. So there's your strikers that you bring in. And then that money that you put toward Arnatovic, now you throw that and you still have $3 million. And you own Belanova.
They probably wouldn't have signed Carlos either because they would have had Darmian.
No, they could have because they sold Gosens. That was basically money in and money out. Like that literally the money basically went from Union Berlin to Monza.
So if that was how it played out today, then today would be Lautaro, Dybala, Taremi, Thuram.
No, Taremi. Well, you don't know if you get Taremi. Maybe you keep Dzeko. Maybe like you still have Dzeko. I don't know.
Yep.
But even still, let's say you renewed Dzeko for 1 year, and then you let him go, and then you bring in Taremi.
And what if you did? What if it was Belanova?
Rabbit hole I didn't want to go down.
Hold on, Belanova, Dumfries, Augusto, Di Marco, Pavard, Darmian, Acerbi, De Vrij, Bastoni, Bissek on the left hand side.
So no Palacios.
No Palacios. Palacios wouldn't have been a part of the equation. Oh, it's interesting.
Because you know Belanova is a known commodity, then maybe I'd be okay with missing out on Palacios if that's exactly how it plays out. I'm okay with it.
I think Belanova is not a confirmed asset yet. I think one good season in Serie A under Juric is good. Now a year
he's gonna cook there.
The only thing that I could see him, and we're going way, way over here, but the only thing that I could see him
not... I don't think anyone's going to complain.
Zappacosta, Gasperini loves him. Loves him.
But Zappacosta played on the left today.
Well, Ruggeri's going to slide into the left, and Heaton is going to come back into the center.
But then Zappacosta, they were trying to sell him. They were trying to get him to go to Napoli.
It's just one of those Italian things where you play the 35-year-old instead of the gem.
Nah, I don't think so. Gasperini's different. He's different. He trusts his youth.
Let's see. I'm going to root for the kid despite the fact that...
Oh, 100% I'm going to root for the kid.
Everyone seems to be obsessed with this this conversation, but... All right. Go... If you can, if you like these episodes, leave us a review or a rating on Spotify. Try to help us out that way.
Spotify numbers are lacking, bro. I don't like what I'm seeing.
They are. Go follow us on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe. I hate that I'm saying that, but it's helpful. It's legit helpful. So if you like this pod, you know, keep it coming.
Some people don't.
Some people
do, but yet they listen.
I understand them. I get it.
Do you?
I get it.
I don't listen to podcasts I don't like.
You don't?
No. Why would I sit there and listen to something I don't like?
I don't listen to podcasts I don't like either. But there is that guy
there's a couple of guys who listen who just love to hate on us. We're idiots. I mean, we are idiots. I'm not gonna. Well, I'm an idiot. I won't say that about
Thanks.
You.
Thanks. No, an idiot. I think I'm right there with you, brother. I think we appreciate the listenership, but yeah, throw us a rating if you're feeling like it.
It would be nice.
I'll come up with a much smoother way to say
we
that.
We got a 5 on Apple Podcasts, though.
Oh, we do? Nice.
We do.
Nice. Capitoto shirts.
Capitoto shirts. Yes.
Buy them.
Yes. I'll put the link up again to our friend JR Bell. She made them. Interclub Boston designed the logo. We just gave him the idea. And honestly, it wasn't even an original idea. I heard Anthony from Inter Worldwide say Capitoto. And I actually asked him, I was like, yo, can I use that so that we can make some t-shirts? Because I have a design in my head of what I picture. He's like, yeah, go ahead. He's like, I don't care. Like, so thank you to Anthony for that. Just even saying it that one time I heard it. And then
they're really cool. And if you guys get the shirts, we'll do more of it. And it's, you know,
yeah, that's sweet. That's big too. Like if people are, and obviously don't feel pressured. If you can't, you can't. Obviously, I'm not gonna, like, I myself right now can't buy the shirt and I want it. But if you use the code INTERVIEWS15, all caps, interview, you save $15, it becomes a $30 t-shirt.
And it helps out a really talented creator, a really talented.
Exactly.
She's her.
And
stuff
I think it's better.
Awesome.
Like, listen, this is just my opinion, especially for everyone who actually bought a jersey too. I like stuff. I mean, obviously the jerseys are different, but I would much rather buy a t-shirt from someone who's an independent and doing it on their own than buy a Nike one and spend the $45 on a Nike t-shirt or whatever, you know. Because you know a Nike one's not going to be cheap. So, and this is a sick design. It represents Lautaro Martinez. Obviously, we're all fans.
He's going to be with the club for a while. So it's not
like he's buying a new contract,
jersey and then he's out.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I'll put the link up again for her shop to be able to get it. I'll just get the one actually directly for the t-shirt while it's up there. So yeah, just get on that. You know what, man? I'm feeling doing a giveaway too. It just came to my head. I got some cards here.
What's on the docket?
It's gonna be a Barella card because he scored. He scored a banger, and I feel like giving away a Barella card. And you know what?
Stock is up.
I'm gonna make it a good Barella card. I got a Barella card from Donruss. It is numbered to 49. So that means there's only 49 of these Barella cards out there, and you will have one of them. So yeah, we're gonna do it. I'm gonna do, like, if you just, everyone who likes, retweets, and you know what, leave a comment, I will go ahead and put them obviously in another name wheel, spin it, record it for you guys, post it there so you know who the winner is. And we're giving away the Barella card. It's from my own personal collection. Not even like one that I bought to do a giveaway with. It's going to be from my personal collection because I like to collect Barella cards numbered 75 or lower. So,
listen, if you keep scoring bangers like that, it's going to be worth something one day. All right. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.